So what happens next? If this is, in fact, the tax increment district is created, again, we've put the financing tool in place. There will be a lot more activity and actions that take place. The city has already begun the due diligence process of determining that the assistance is truly needed. So it's recognized that there's a need for infrastructure improvements on the site for development to take place. But there is also a due diligence to ensure that if there is any direct incentive or cash grant or gap financing provided, there's been an analysis started and will continue to be worked on to determine that need and that dollar amount. If there is a determination of need, then a developer's agreement will be executed. That will come back to the city for review and approval and an execution with the developer to do that. So that is all necessary and done before any dollars are spent. So it is a plan. It's not a budget. It's not a commitment of cost at this particular point. It's just the first step to put the tool in place so that if the project does move forward, you have the ability to use this tool to help pay for some of those costs. And as was mentioned by staff, there is also a lot of other planning process involved in any development that takes place within the city, and all of that, those efforts and due diligence will also take place. So that concludes my presentation, Mayor, so I'm glad to answer any questions that you and or the Plan Commission have. Or
I'm just waiting for the next. Aaron, anything else?
No, I think Dawn did a nice job covering everything. Thank you.
Just a reminder, Dawn did a great job at pointing this out, but there's a lot of work yet to be done and a lot of approvals yet to be done. And I just remind everybody in the audience that the Common Council passed a resolution conditionally approving the rezoning, and that those were 39 conditions. If one of those isn't met, council then has a decision to make as to whether it's over. So, a long way to go yet. Okay, this is a public hearing. It is open to the public. Anyone wishing to speak on this matter, please come forward and grab the microphone that Ms. Gunderson has. And Don, I forgot you're married.
Oh.
Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Didn't want to insult you. So anyone with anything, any issues, anyone wishing to speak on this matter, please come forward and give your name and address and speak your piece. Anyone wishing to speak? There we go. Pull it straight up.
Yes, Mayor Olson, I do understand that there is a lot of work to be done. Mr. Deedle, right from the start, clearly recognized this. And while
you know who you are, but behind the record.
Okay, my name is Jim Lucky, and my address is 4925 West Rosset Avenue. Anyway, what I saw in the presentation here today just convinced me more than ever that we should try to move forward on this. I understand, again, there is a lot of criteria to meet, but this still is an important step, defining the boundary of the district and moving forward with the project. One thing, Mayor Olson, I've heard you say a number of times, is what a great staff we have here in Franklin. And I've had occasion, of course, working with different staff members. And that's real important. And I also know the reputation of elders. Without any doubt, the foremost in the area here in TIP development. And so we have an excellent team here put together to put this forward. And again, another thing, you know, Mayor Olson, I do listen to what you have to say. You've once said that you've never met a TIF district you didn't like. And hopefully this is one that you're going to like. Well,
I don't recall saying that, but
well, I
that's far from the truth.
Okay, all right. But it is true that they have been very successful. There's been great success here in the city of Franklin. Now, I've got a little analysis of myself of what this is going to bring to the city. And it's just something that happened that this past Saturday here. We had this, what was it called, mud dash over at the Rock Complex. And I was driving along 76th and Ross in there, and I just seen people just pouring into the Rock Complex. And what I saw was young people doing so. There was a young woman there but with a baby carriage. And from what I understand, there was something like about 10,000 people altogether, including the participants. And I read that in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Monday. And I just got to say that this is such a unique project that's just going to bring such a diverse people into Franklin. I believe this right from the start. And I just think it'll bring economic development like we've never had before, and it's something we really need to move forward with. Thank you. That's what I got. Thank you.
Former Alderman Schmidt, so you're up.
Thank you. My name is Doug Schmidt, 7961 South 68th Street. I've been involved in some of these projects over the last 5-6 years. It's fascinating to see where we've come compared to where we were a couple of years ago when we were examining a lot of projects and very complicated. And I feel good where we're going, that we've got this honed down now to a more of a manageable TIF district that I think has a lot of potential, and as opposed to where we were when we were trying to encompass going down Rawson Avenue farther east. I think that those developments can be developed farther down the road once we get this thing off the ground. So I think that a lot of work has been put in. Obviously, there's still a lot more details to be worked out. And so our developer, I know, has still got a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot, but I would hate to see this get stalled at this point, so I'm hoping that the Plan Commission will recommend to the Common Council that we continue moving forward on this to get it to the next stage. So, that's
it. Anyone else wishing to speak? You know how it's done.
I'm Tim Solomon, former alderman, 8026 South Mission Drive, Franklin, Wisconsin. First time I saw this from the mayor, I said, well, this looks great, but what about the rest of it? And I've been a proponent of putting the 76th and Rawson, the total area, in a TIF. But I can understand now why you did it this way after the discussion. Let it stand on its own 2 feet, and hopefully we can move forward. I see a friend back there in the audience by the name of Ted, and we have worked on a few of TIFs 3 and 4 together over the years. I used to represent this area. This area was probably one of the most difficult areas to try to move forward with some type of development. This is a good plan. You've got a good developer here. And we better get this built because he's getting older and the knees start to go after a while. But everybody is very, very pleased with the Rock Complex, and fall ball starts in a week and a half. So I just want to let you know that some of us go up there and watch our grandkids play ball, and it's quite a destination for our young people. Mr. Lucky indicated that he saw a lot of young people up there last weekend. Well, you can see a lot of young people up there any night of the week because they're all watching the ball games. So this will be a destination for Franklin, for the teenagers in the community. It's a project that needs to move forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else wishing to speak? I haven't trained you folks well. It takes too long to get up.
My name is Mary Claire Lancer, but I'm not speaking for myself tonight. I'm speaking for David Church, who I spoke with on the phone today. He put together this letter and asked me to read it for you and to submit it as part of regular testimony. I regret not being able to attend tonight's meeting regarding the proposed Ballpark Commons development. I would like to state for the record that I am a firm supporter of the project. My recent investment in Root River Center has been well received by the community, and it has further opened my eyes to a consistent drumbeat in the community. We are so glad you opened, and we are eager for more social, dining, and entertainment options in our city. The people of this great community have a strong desire to support the community, and I believe Ballpark Commons is the catalyst to make this happen now and long term. I can tell you, as a neighboring retail service business, we need other vibrant retail activity. An active retail, restaurant, office, and sporting community is essential for enduring economic viability as a whole. The TIF plan makes this possible, and I support the TIF plan completely. So yes, I have a self-serving interest in seeing Ballpark Commons come to fruition. However, I have also been involved in the local commercial real estate business as an investor and developer for nearly 20 years. I am confident that Mike Zimmerman has assembled an exceptional team with an outstanding track record of executing high-quality projects. I have no doubt that Mike will follow through with his vision, and Ballpark Commons will be a great, great addition to the City of Franklin. I support Ballpark Commons 100%. Thank you, David Church, Root River President.
And for the record, I did even forward it to staff, two emails that I received over the last 2 days in support of the project, and they'll be entered into the record. Anyone else wishing to speak? Mrs. Wiesner.
Barbara Wiesner, I live at 7479 Carter Circle South, and I am a neighbor to the Ballpark Commons. We all know that as individuals and as businesses and communities, we all need to invest. And I believe that this is a project in which we are investing in the future of the City of Franklin. And I just want to make my voice heard that I am very much in support of the TIF district for this district.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Okay, folks, seeing no one else rising, I will close the public hearing. Okay, for the members of the Plan Commission, there's it's a two-part question, but we'll just do, is there a motion to approve the resolution that's in front of you? Designating the proposed boundaries and approving your project plan recommendation for the tax incremental district that we'll call number 5 in the City of Franklin, Wisconsin.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion of the motion? Commissioner Leon.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Just two somewhat detailed questions for the staff, and talk a little bit to Mr. Hertzberg about it before. They go to the city's stated goals and objectives, and I'm reading from the comprehensive master plan here. Tax base is between 70% residential and non-residential, 30%. Does this project either measurably or to that intent move towards that goal? And I would ask if you could talk a little bit about where we're at currently, and again, if you can't define in measurable terms, how this may move towards that.
Sure. currently where the city's at is short of that goal if you consider that the ideal scenario to have 30% commercial development. So the project that's in front of us is slightly more residential if you look at assessed value. Slightly more commercial than it is residential in terms of assessed value attached to it. And so it's about 55-45. It has additional commercial development than it does residential. It doesn't meet, if you looked at this project individually, it doesn't meet the 70-30 aspect. Or it certainly moves us in a direction towards additional commercial development. I apologize, I forgot my notes on this back at the office. I'm speaking off the top of my head. I know we spoke about this on the phone. But I think there's a sense here that we're taking lands that, particularly the around the Rock Sports Complex, have questionable development potential. And with the added residential density south of Rawson and the additional components of the project, there's a sense that it enhances the viability for development relative to otherwise opportunity costs associated with it. And so the sense from the staff level is that in terms of a master plan project, it's well laid out within the existing marketplace and helps to advance the development goals of the city. I'll also add that in my short time here, but also looking at historic survey information, there's been a high demand in the city for what I'll call high-quality retail, quality restaurants, coffee shops, more of that specialized retail environment. A project like this, looking around the marketplace, is the type of project that helps to attract that type of development. We've done some sampling as well, looking at the history of some of the development partners involved in this project, Wired Development. There are other mixed-use properties, the type of retailers, outfits that end up in their development align well with the stated goals of citizens in the city of Franklin looking for that type of commercial activity.
So for the record, $57,383,500 estimated as non-residential, and 43,000, is it right there? Is my math correct? Mr. Lincoln. For the record, this is Mr. Lincoln. Which one do you want?
Which one do you want?
I'm still Richard Lincoln. If you look on page 24 of the project plan, which is the breakdown of what the components are of the anticipated roughly $101 million of development, you can see that the garden apartment portion is almost $44 million. But then if you also look at the column entitled Sports Village, which is $32 million, probably 60 to 70% of that is residential. So if you call that $20 million and add that to the 44, you're at mid-60s out of $100 million. So it's not quite 70%, but it's more than 60%.
Basically the extension of this in one form or another. If I phrase that a bit politics, I think hopefully I've communicated that on.
I'm going to let Paul, our finance director, jump in on this one.
Again, my name is Paul Rotzenberg. I'm the director of finance and treasurer for the city. State law, state TID law, has a limit on how much of the equalized value of the city can be in a TIP district by way of increment. And it's the increment that the state measures, correct? And I believe that ratio is that no more than 12% of the city's equalized value can be inside a TID district. I don't have the math figure on what that number is. It's in the plan. The city could have $438 million of economic value, equalized value, inside a TID district. Today we have something less than $100 million inside a TID district. If this district generates all of the value that's being created, it'll add another $100 million to that. So we still would be less than half of the available equalized value. We could create a number of additional TID districts. The other thing that we need to keep in mind as community is our TID 3 and TID 4 will close in the first half of the life of this district. So then that frees up another $100 million of economic value. This district in no way, the proposed district in no way, will limit the city in any substantial portion in being able to continue to use TIF as an economic development tool within the community.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here because I think you answered the reverse of what the commission was asking. The commission was asking what... I'm going to use the term, and I don't mean to, but the safeguards to prevent additions to the district in terms of either more expenditure or...
Let me address that to some degree. Mr. Rosberg said that the district has a statutory life. Under Wisconsin statute as it stands now, a mixed-use district can stay open for 20 years statutorily. So if the jurisdiction chooses not to close it in advance of that, it automatically will close on its 20th anniversary from the date it's created by statute. The other timing for closing a district, if you've met all the obligations, for example, you've borrowed $11 million, you've committed to pay incentive to a certain dollar amount, and you've met those obligations, the statute also says you need to close the district at that point. You can't keep it open if you're not undertaking any project costs. And then the third scenario would be you can electively close it at any time, but if you choose to do that, if there's any outstanding obligations, those revert back to the city, and then you have to make payments on those. So there are mechanisms to close the district. Now, if by chance, and as far as any commitment to a development contribution under a municipal revenue obligation, you're only obligated to pay if increment dollars are available. There is no provision that would require you to keep it open for that purpose. So those would be negotiated as part of the developer's agreement. If you, for whatever reason, you had your obligation of bonds and you reached the 20 years and you had not recovered enough to pay off that debt and you had advanced not recovered, you do have the ability to leave it open for a couple of years. There's ability for an extension of 3 years. If you can demonstrate that you need 3 more years to reach the recovery of any obligations. But that basically is what's allowed. You can't keep it open any longer than that. If you were to close this district, could another council 20 years from now create another district on top of it? That's possible.
If
you'd have to go through a similar process and demonstrate that there's value coming online and a reason to do that, but I think that the provisions are in place. There's an annual reporting to the overlapping taxing districts and keeping it open longer than necessary. I don't foresee as being a major concern.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Here.
If I could help address your first question, I'll tell you, we talked about a common council in Ocean Park, Planning Commission, we talked about quite a bit of common council on staff level. We anticipate that if this were to develop as proposed, there's a lot of empty space on the other side of Loomis that would high probability be more commercial nature, which would further prompt us to move towards the 73.
But we would either extend this, extend the boundaries of this TIF and close the addition out within the time period, or we make another old TIF for that area. So, any other questions? Commissioner Fowler.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Having been on the Planning Commission where we put together the five-year the master plan, 76 and Rawson has always been of interest to me as creating a city center. I'm not a big fan of TIFs, but I understand it's the only tool we got to get development to come in. It's just the where we're at. However, in your opinion, if we put this development forward, we get the density of residential with the apartments and some of the other things that are going in there, now 76 and Rawson, which already has a lot of infrastructure already in it, it's possible that we would have and attract a successful development that's going in here would then spark development at 76 and Rawson in some of the developed areas where we have a couple of vacant buildings that sit there now, and also across the street that might not require a TIF because it would become attractive and valuable property in and of itself because of the density of residents we have across the street, and we created this sort of a city center. Is that possible in your experience? I'm not asking you to look in the crystal ball, but just in your experience, would that be possible?
You know, anything's possible. So we work within the existing market conditions, right? And so we've got a project that's coming before us. We evaluate it relative to the existing marketplace and make a determination about whether or not we think the project will work, whether or not it needs a certain amount of TIF funding to be executed. One of the indicators that I think leads to your point is that we have heard feedback from a number of businesses, developers, and property owners around 76 and Rothschild who have been advocates for the project to move forward. They're not looking at this project as being competition to them, but rather enhancing the value of their parcels and helping to elevate the status, the quality of tenant profile that they're able to attract to their development sites themselves, and potentially raise values in that area. So to me, them being supporters of the project is an indication that they see the value, that they're going to be able to recruit better tenants to their existing retail spaces and enhance the viability for development potential. You know, whether or not future TIF dollars will be needed will really have to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. You know, particularly the lands across Loomis Road behind Pick and Save on the south side of the development there. Yeah, that's being pointed out now. There are potentially significant site condition issues that have to be dealt with there, as well as some infrastructure issues. For creating enhanced access to it to really bring about highest and best use potential. So I don't want to suggest that TIF dollars wouldn't necessarily be needed there to address those types of concerns. But again, it's difficult to evaluate without a specific project in hand and some sense of the tenant profile, makeup, projection, and the individualized infrastructure needs associated with it. Big picture, again, I'll reiterate that I think we believe as staff, and we get feedback from the development community, that moving forward with this project west of Loomis Road will add value to parcels and add development potential east of Loomis Road.
I'll follow up here with another question. Thank you. That was exactly what I was looking for. And with the southwest quadrant of Franklin now being open for development, we're getting sewer and water is going to be there. I always talk about gateways. This could become the gateway into Franklin. It's got several major roads, 76th Street and Loomis, now coming together at a gateway spot. Going further south, you'll be coming into that southwest quadrant. Again, using that great crystal ball you just did, I see this as a gateway would spur then development in the southwest quadrant.
Yes, you know, the more you fill in with density, you know, and there's obviously activity to the west of us in Muskego, but certainly the more the development that, that comes into to areas like this, the more you're enhancing values within surrounding development, developable parcels. So certainly I would think that it would add value. You know, you're asking a lot if you're looking for an answer about when activity would take off there. Part of that's going to be, again, responding to site conditions, individualized parcels, ability to acquire, and then the zoning restrictions that are in place from the municipality about how we want to see some of that land developed. You know, I'll speak a little in between area, what we call the crossroads at Loomis and Highway 100. Back in 2004, the city had done some planning and looked at major mixed-use redevelopment in that area, including a lot of retail development, and there were a couple of proposals off and on related to it. Since I've come to town over the last 10 months or so, I've looked at that area and its potential for retail development. And the reality is that traffic counts are okay. There's not a significant amount of residential density. There's not a significant amount of daytime populations to support retail-type development, quality retail-type development. So the addition of things like residential density, commercial uses, increased daytime populations, they both contribute to increased traffic counts. Those are the types of things we need to create within our community if we want to continue to attract quality development. And the other thing I'll add to that real quick, because in the Southwest Quadrant, we've talked about some level of manufacturing uses or industrial uses. More and more, we hear a lot about, or a lot of folks have heard about, you know, residential users want access to urban-like settings, commercial districts, increased, you know, walkability, better access to restaurants, things of that nature. We've also heard more and more about that from office markets. Anybody who's paying attention to the news has seen a lot of traffic for office space driving into downtown Milwaukee, and a lot of that's about responding to employee desires to have access to coffee shops, restaurants, things of that nature, many of the things that are included here. We're now starting to hear some level of that from businesses within our own business park, talking about, you know, looking for quality restaurants, looking for good coffee shops, where do I grab a beer after work? Those kinds of questions are coming up. So we've got to think about, as a community, how we create some of that here to help satisfy the demand of commercial uses beyond the desirable retailers, but also the desirable uses around manufacturing, industrial, which are good value adds to our tax base.
Your father brought it up, so I'm going to carry the ball here. He mentioned some vacant storefronts, and so I'm going to take the opportunity to comment on two of them, specifically Office Depot and the bank. I hear about these a lot, especially when I'm shopping, and it makes my wife real happy that I'm breaking off and she's off shopping and I'm explaining the realities of retail. The buildings predominantly that you see empty in the city of Franklin are under contractual restrictions with their landowners. The rent currently being charged for a lease that was signed in 2005, the peak of the economic boom, is still being paid by Office Depot, and there's nobody in the world that would take it over. So that's going to be that way for a long time. Similarly, the bank, if you think about it, why would any bank want another bank to buy the building that they were formerly to offer them more competition? So just, there's citizens here, so I thought I'd take the opportunity to maybe lessen these people saying, why do we have so many people? Okay, anything else from the commission? We do have a motion on the floor, and we've strayed from the discussion. Seeing no other comments from the commission, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This will appear on the September 6th County Council meeting. Thank you all for coming.